welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. And during quarantine, each and every week, we talk about stuff that we've been watching to stave off madness. With me, as always, is Shannon Page. Shannon!
Hello!
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I mean, I think in honesty, neither of us are super good. We're fine. We've been going through this shit for a long time. I will share a story that's fun, which is that on Tuesday of this week, my day started with someone throwing firecrackers in several of the dumpsters in our alley and lighting them ablaze.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool that we've got that, and also someone keeps smashing car windows with rocks or something.
About that on Nextdoor.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a real blast.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks. My Tuesday started with the company I work for firing like 100 people, so that sucked.
Yeah, that's worse than vandalism / minor arson or even, you know, car window smashing for sure. And you know, my feels go out for those people who've lost their jobs, because I feel like that number keeps going up. And you know, this is probably going to go on a little longer, so it's a little scary.
Yeah, it's real scary, and I feel terrible that being in the tech sector, I think we all thought we were kind of untouchable, and that's not the case.
Yeah, because I mean, it comes back to the age old problem of how kind of over leveraged most businesses are in our economy. So if they're not actively making a lot of money, they're in debt. And that's screwed up, and it sucks, and it's just bad for everybody, and we're all sort of sold a faulty bill of sale in that regard. But hey, I'm glad that you're still safe and sound, and you know, we're just gonna hope that we can hang through this thing, because who knows?
Hey, yeah. Sorry, hang on a second. Somebody's banging on my door.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, hang on a sec.
Be careful.
Yeah. Right. It was the delivery man.
Oh, good. It wasn't your former tenant coming back to look for a misplaced dildo or plastered into the wall.
Not this time.
Wouldn't that be fun, though, if somebody showed up to a place that you were living in and they were like, hey, I lived here 5 years ago and I hid some dildos in the wall and I need them back.
I'm here for my dildos.
Yeah.
No, I'm actually glad that I was on with you when that happened, though, because normally they don't deliver to the door. They just deliver to the building. And that really freaked me out. I was like, no one's knocked on my door in months. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. No, it's weird. And then you're like, is this like the end of E.T.? Is there just like a tarp outside my door and they're going to come in and haul me away? Oh my God. All right. So yeah, so we've been sort of going crazy with everything. But we watched a little show, huh? We watched a show called The Circle on Netflix.
The Circle, so good.
And here's what I got to say, because Shannon, I think you recommended this maybe in January or February. I can't remember how long it's been, but you definitely were an early onboarder for this program.
I love crappy reality shows, so I think I watched it the day it came out.
Well, and the beautiful thing is, I remember you telling me this at trivia, but I think that you said the beautiful thing about this is it's a reality show where everybody's nice to each other. And they mostly are. Like, they mostly are all nice to each other, and it does. It makes this show a hell of a watch. Listeners, this is a Netflix reality series. Shannon, set up the premise.
It is a bunch of people, apropos of our situation right now, that are put into apartments. They're each put into their own individual apartment, and they're not allowed to have any contact with the outside world, and they're not allowed to leave. And the only communication they have is written communication with the people in the other apartments. And it's basically text messaging with occasional looking at pictures, but not very much pictures looking either. It's mostly just text messaging. And every week they vote on who they like the best, and the least popular person gets kicked out of their apartment. And whoever is the most popular at the end wins I don't remember what it was. Was it like $1 million or something? $10,000?
It was $100,000, yeah.
Somewhere in between $10,000 and $1 million.
Good chunk of money. and it's interesting because, okay, because it's a show that's predicated on the idea of social isolation. Like, you just have to talk to people through social media and get them on your side, because each round there's a vote for who you like the best, and you rank everybody.
But there's a twist. So if you listen to our previous show where we talked about Love is Blind, it sounds very similar, because those were people put into pods and they had to figure out who they were in love with. But the twist of the circle is that not everybody is who they seem. Because they're only communicating through text messages, lots of people in the circle, in order to be more popular, are pretending to be someone they're not.
Yep, we've got some serious meow meow blub blub going on. Catfishing.
Did you practice that?
No, I mean, I just did it right now. It was pretty lame, too. Meow meow blub blub.
I love it.
Yeah, so this show, and again, listeners, we're going to spoil some of this show. So, I mean, we can't spoil the experience for you, but we will spoil some things that you know, the ending, probably. We'll probably talk about that, because I really liked the person who won. I just felt so good about the way this show turned out.
I was really happy about it. I was really, yeah, it's overall feel good, because even the people that are catfishing start to make friends with everybody, and the friendships are real, even if the personalities they're pretending to be aren't, because you can't pretend to be somebody 24 hours a day. So their real personalities come out and real friendships are formed. And when they discover that somebody is a catfish, half the time they don't even care. They're just like, you're awesome anyway. I really like you.
Yeah, there's only one character who cares a lot about the catfishing thing, and that seemed to be kind of loose in how he did care when it came down to everything. But I'm gonna drop the bomb on where this show is filmed, because there's a lot of establishing shots. These apartments are really cool. Shannon, where do you think this show is filmed?
Oh, it's filmed in like Manchester, in England somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the city Salford in Manchester, yeah.
I'm going to spoil this, because I got so into The Circle on Netflix, which is all Americans, that I did some research and I found out that there was a UK version of The Circle that had already had 2 seasons. And so I went and I watched those.
That one's spelled with U, right?
It's Circule.
Yeah.
and the apartments were the exact same. And I was like, wow, that's really weird that they have like the exact same rugs and everything. And so then I did more research and found out that the Circle UK was the original The Circle. And now there's the Circles for a ton of different countries, but they're all filmed in this same building.
I mean, it makes sense that it's a UK started thing, because it is a show that really rewards politeness and kindness. And Americans wouldn't do that off the bat. You know what I mean? Like, the American originated version of The Circle would be like, okay, you're put into a battle royale video game with people you don't know who you have to talk to later, and you can only use the following horrible words when you talk to them. Like, that would be it. And then they'd be like, oh, well, who do you like the most? Well, I don't like the guy that called me a cunt that much, but I kind of prefer him to the guy that used the hard F word 7 times.
That is true. That is how it would go. Or there'd be nothing but collusions and what are they called? When you get together with a group.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Making their alliances.
Alliances. Thank you. Words are hard now that I'm by myself all the time.
I know. Yeah. We don't have to talk really that much. And mostly I just think food, bathroom, shower, food, bathroom, shower. So this show has, you got an original group of people who include this guy, Joey, who's from like Long Island or New Jersey.
Joey is a cast off of the Jersey Shore. Like it could have been that he was a reject from the original casting of Jersey Shore, and this was like his second choice for the show to be on. Joey is amazing.
Yeah. He's just a very nice person. Like, he's actually, you know, he has the bravado of that Jersey Shore character, but none of the grossness.
He's a little gross. He's a Guido, but he's so excited by everything. He's always like, I don't know what's going on, but I like it.
I love watching Joey throughout the show for the roller coaster he's on, because whenever there's like what are the announcements called? Are they just called alerts? I guess they're called alerts. Whenever there's an alert, he always just panics and assumes that everything's going to go wrong for him. And whenever he talks to anybody, he's so enthusiastic, and his way of using the circle, the social media device, is so emphatic and delightful. Just like, circle, type, I think you're a cool guy, heart emoji, hashtag, ride or die forever.
And like, it's so cute because he's like this tough Guido, and he's always like, I got your back, hugs for life, bros for life, we're going to be friends forever.
Yeah. BFFs. He is sort of the human distillation of Vin Diesel's character from Fast and Furious, because he talks about family all the time, and I think he really means it, and it's really, really sweet. Actually, we know he means it because there's a time when he gets a video from his mom, and he cries, and it's very sweet.
Love him.
So you got Joe, and then you got Shoebomb, who is this this guy who I think he's got a bachelor's or master's degree, very smart. He's super anti-social media, so I was like right on board to Shuby's camp when I started watching this, because I was like, yeah, he's right. This is kind of what's bad about reality, is that people use this thing and manipulate each other, and it's just horrible. It's horrible for human interaction, and I agree in the general sense that social media is not good for us.
So Shuby joined because he hates social media, and he kind of wanted to prove a point. And he ends up being one of the like most involved people, and he loves it. But the other thing that's great about Shuby, do you know this? Do you know what Shuby's other claim to fame is? Do you have any idea about Shuby's other claim to fame?
You know, I don't. I'm gonna have to pass. What's his claim?
So before he was on The Circle, Shuby ran for governor of California.
Oh my God. You know what? We looked that up while we were watching it. Jenny and I did. And I remember seeing that, but yes, that's so cool.
And he actually ran on a platform of trying to get rid of social media for like kids under 18 or something. Cause he thinks it's so bad for kids' self-esteem and stuff.
Well, and in fairness, I think it is. It's bad for my self-esteem, and I'm almost 40.
That's true. I mean, yeah, I don't disagree with him.
And don't use it at all. You know that. You're like, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Well, I used it at one point, and that's one of the reasons I stopped, is it was bad for my self-esteem. I was like, everyone's having more fun than me.
Yeah, well, it's brutal, and I've sort of turned my social media platform into a radical left-wing anarchist sort of thing of late. Like, I just posted pictures of all the crazy shit in Capitol Hill today, because it's crazy shit all the time. And I captioned it, "Where's your society now?" Anyway, so your cast for The Circle. So let's see. So we've got Joey and Shuby. There's Sammy. Sammy is. I mean, how would you describe Sammy?
Sammy is so sweet. I love her. She's like a badass Philly chick that with a heart of gold. That's how I would describe her.
Yeah, that's true. And she really is, because she is one of the original line of people. She makes it all the way to the end of the show. She's really, you know, I'm defaulting to the language they use, because one thing that you're gonna get used to in watching this show is people saying that other people are honest and genuine and real over and over and over again. And they're saying these things, I think, from a Stockholm Syndrome standpoint, because they're like, well, they have to be, because I've been talking to a TV for the last 9 weeks, and if this person is not genuine, my mind will shatter into billions of tiny pieces.
We should mention that the three people we've mentioned so far were all themselves.
Yes. So we have Rebecca. We'll jump to Rebecca real quick. Rebecca is a catfish. And she is a character who is portrayed by her real-life boyfriend, but her name's not really the the person in the photograph's name isn't Rebecca, is my understanding.
Right.
But the guy, this guy Seaburn, who is portraying Rebecca, air quotes, I'm doing air quotes, listeners, he is the boyfriend of the girl whose photos he's using. And so he's portraying her throughout the show. And he is hilarious to watch because some of his reactions are incredible. And
I love it because all the women set up like a girls only chat room, and he's in there because they all think he's a woman, and he is trying so hard to portray being a woman. And at one point they're talking about cramps and how bad they all get cramps, and he goes, "I get them really bad on my left side." And all the rest of the women are like, "That's not a thing," but they let it go. Like, they all let it go, and they're like, "Oh, honey, I've never heard of that. That sucks." And you can see his face just like, "Whew, like I somehow got away with that."
I mean, he's doing the ultimate. I mean, and he does a really great job with the improv of it. I mean, the only way that he's sort of caught out is later on when Rebecca seems to be a little too romantically concerned with someone who's barely been on the show, which I buy. I think that's a good place to get caught. I would expect her to get caught at that point, because it's like, hey, wait a second. And caught by one of my other favorite characters, Chris.
Chris. Oh yes. Oh my God. Love Chris. Chris is genuine. Yeah. To use the nomenclature of the show, Chris is being exactly who Chris is.
Chris is just phenomenal. Like he is just sort of the gay version of Joey. Like, he's enthusiastic. He says exactly what he's feeling whenever he feels it. And it works really well. I was so pleased.
Yeah, I really liked Chris. I really liked everybody. There was very few people that I didn't.
Sorry, dog talk. I think that's the other thing about this show. I didn't dislike anyone particularly. I mean, I think like the only people that I didn't like were some of the late additions. Who were kind of, I don't know, lackluster.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a mother son team pretending to be one person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that could have been really interesting, but they actually, the son ended up playing most of the time while the mom just watched. So they weren't my favorite. I don't even remember their names.
Yeah. I mean, they were charming enough. I'm trying to find like the actual list of the people on the show, and I'm having a hard time. It's really...
So while you're doing that, I'm going to divert for a second. I'm going to talk about the UK version, because when you talk about how everybody was trying to figure out who... So that became a thing that I thought was interesting, is that for some reason, everybody wants to identify who the catfish are.
Yeah.
Which is not part of the game.
And no, there's no special reward for figuring out who's catfishing. You're just supposed to be the most likable.
Yeah, and in the UK version, which I thought was really interesting, is that they actually figure out who the catfish are, but they stop caring.
Right.
And, like, it kind of becomes known. They're like, oh, person A isn't who they say they are, but they're so nice. I like them anyway. And so the catfishing on the UK one became not as big of a deal. But, yeah, for some reason on the American one, people were really into trying to figure out who the catfish were.
I think they just got a little bored. I really do think that's what it is. I think you reach a point where you've been doing something for 10 or 12 weeks and you're just like, you know, we got to figure out who these catfish are.
who's not genuine. And then the UK one also did something that I thought was really interesting, is that they actually brought in, so once somebody gets eliminated for not being popular enough, they actually do get replaced by a new contestant. So it doesn't go from like 9 people to 8 to 7 to 6 to 5. It goes from like 9 people to eliminate one. Now you get a new person. It's still 9 people. Eliminate one, get a new person. It's still 9 people. So it's the same number of people throughout most of the show.
Interesting. Okay.
And in the UK, like the third replacement they brought in was actually a celebrity. I didn't know who he was because he was an English celebrity. I think he was like a talk show host. So I think it would be like bringing in like Regis or something. Like, he was kind of a Regis, a Kathy Lee kind of character.
You know what? I would pay, I don't have a lot of money, but I would pay a lot of money to see Regis on the Circle season 2.
No, it was awesome because they had him. I guess they must have told him that he was only going to be there for like 2 weeks, and they had him like playing a 23-year-old blonde woman. And for the first week, he was supposed to make as many friends as he could. And in the second week, he was supposed to piss off as many people as he could. And they made it his goal to get kicked off. So, like, while everybody else is trying to be nice, he's basically trying to piss off as many people as he can.
How can I be just mean enough that people don't super hate me, but they get me out of here?
Yeah, and it's not super obvious that I'm doing this.
Right, yeah, because you could just go all caps and well, do what most people do on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So yeah, the English version was fun to watch too.
Where is that available?
England.
Okay. Cool. So probably if you've got a VPN, maybe you can get it on Netflix.
If you have friends that happen to have a copy of it, you can watch it. That's how I did it.
Great. That's the way to do things. Have friends who have access to media.
But I do know that the American version of Netflix does have France and Brazil on right now, I think.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I haven't watched those yet, but
the Circle France could be interesting. Well, we'll have to check that out. I like it. So you got these other people in the first round. You got Antonio, a professional basketball player, who is very upfront about his professional basketball playerness. And everybody just decides that he's a catfish pretty much right away. Like, he's the first to go, or the second to go.
He's really good looking, and he's nice, and he's a professional basketball player, and everyone's like, yeah, he's lying.
See, I didn't think he was nice, though, in person. He always seemed to be sort of like, yeah, I got this person right where I want him. Which is a sort of way that I guess, and maybe I'm being naive. But I would like to think that isn't the way people do relationships, is by calculating like, oh yeah, well, those sentences landed, so I'm good.
Well, he could only be, I could be wrong because he was only there for a week, so I might be remembering him wrong.
Oh no. I mean, I think he was generally nice for sure too. I'm not, everybody was surprised. I think whoever got to meet him was surprised that he was him.
I believe he met Mercedes.
Oh yeah. Mercedes was something else. And I missed Mercedes when she left, because she was very entertaining.
Yeah, I liked her a lot. So Mercedes was another catfish. Was her name actually Mercedes?
No. The person's name who did it was Karen with a Y. And she had portrayed herself as I guess a younger woman than what she was. She basically,
younger and prettier and thinner, and I thought that was really interesting that she made a point about how she did not think that if she put her real picture up that people would, you know, like her as much.
It's interesting how many times that happens, because isn't it? It's Antonio goes to visit Mercedes, right, when he gets kicked off. Mm-hmm. He goes to see her, I think.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny, because when somebody gets kicked off, they get to go visit whoever they want. And then the next day, they leave a message for everybody. And his message was basically, I can't tell you who I saw last night, but they're a catfish.
Yeah.
That was kind of shitty.
Lots of people saying things like, people aren't who they appear to be. which is great, because it's totally delightfully charming. the first person to go was Alana. Alana, the blonde swimsuit and lingerie model from Brownsville, Texas.
Another one everybody thought was a catfish.
Yeah. And I mean, in fairness, like, she was pretty boring. Like, she was even boring on the wrap-up show. Yeah. Like, just not a lot of energy there. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but yeah. let's see, Sammy, we got Seaburn, we got Shuby, we got Yeah, I don't. Who am I missing? Who am I missing?
Miranda was like a yoga instructor.
Miranda and Joey's romance. What do you think about that?
I don't love it, I'm gonna be honest.
Do you think they're still going?
I wonder if they are.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's any way we'd find out.
I think Joey is, as much as I love him, I think he's the kind of guy that hits on every single girl.
Yeah.
And just waits for one to bite.
Yeah.
And I think that Miranda is the kind of girl that the second a guy shows her any attention, she falls in love with him. So Joey hit on her and she fell in love, and that's how they became a couple. Because really, they were like super into each other after like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they were hardcore, like self-shipping just in their conversation. And then, yeah, I mean, you know, she went to go visit him when she was booted out. And they shared a tender and romantic kiss.
Actually, I'll save that for the end. But
oh yeah, I mean, because you know, they seem to be still in a thing on the wrap up show, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, there was a post circle date made that I believe that they were both going to keep.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you need. Post circle dates. and then you had the blonde white guy that got very angry and called everybody fake, whose name I don't remember.
I'm also pulling up a list because I don't remember either. Karen, Miranda. Oh, Alex, who was catfishing as Adam.
Yes.
You're talking about?
Alex was a lot of fun.
I liked him. I liked him a lot.
He was gross, but in the most charming possible way.
Oh, I want to be friends with Alex in real life. He reminds me a lot of other people I'm friends with.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think he would be a totally good friend. I think as someone who's trying to pretend to be like a really handsome guy and hit on people, he was doing a very bad job.
Oh, that kind of gross. I thought you meant Alex himself was. Yeah, so Alex was like kind of cool, quirky dude. Like, I could see him living in like Brooklyn. Like, he's kind of, you know, quirky hipstery, but not like cool hipstery, but like dorky hipstery. Trying to be like the all-American jock guy named Adam. And Alex's idea of what an all-American jock guy is like was hilarious, because basically anytime he talked to a woman, he'd be like, "You should impress me because I'm pretty."
Yeah.
And it was like he had this idea of like what it's like to be a 6'2", you know, muscly guy, and he was playing that persona, but it was so wrong and so bad. So gross, like you said.
He was steering hard into the patriarchy with his portrayal. I mean, and because he would like, there's one sequence where he's talking to Sammy and he just like grosses her out because he's like, "Oh yeah, I mean, maybe we could exchange." I don't think he said exchange fluids, but it was effectively that.
It was, like, he was terrible. It's like, no, Alex, nobody's really like that. Like, maybe that's what you think those guys are like, but that's, nobody's like that.
Yeah, no, it's not good and it's not going to work. Alex was fun. We had Sean, who was another catfish, but kind she of. Catfished sort of, and she bailed out. So Sean is a social media influencer or social media manager in her own right. And she did a similar thing where she took a friend's photos to be her because she thought that nobody would want to talk to her because she's overweight. But she was really fun, and it was a bummer that she got kicked off because I thought she was pretty cool.
Hot take on Sean. I really liked Sean, but so for anybody who hasn't seen The Circle, you are allowed to take photos into the circle with you, and then every now and then the circle will let you share those photos with the other people. So you start off with just like a profile pic, and then you play a game and they're like, "Now you can put a second picture up." And so when it's time to put up your second picture, you bring up your private album and you pick which picture in your private album you want to share with everyone. So here's my hot take on Sean. Sean, halfway through her time on the circle, decided to stop catfishing and to replace her fake pictures with her real pictures.
It's time to start getting real.
That's how did she know to bring real pictures with her? How did she know to bring real pictures with her? I feel like she knew from the beginning that's what she was going to do.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that any of this is not somewhat orchestrated. I mean, she either knew or they said, "Hey, maybe you should bring some stuff." the thing about the show is there gets to be so many weird twists and turns where suddenly, like, the way that the influencers, so the people who are the most popular among the group after each vote, after each ranking, they have to decide who to kick off, the two of them, by having a conversation. But then they switch that up after the, like, fifth or sixth time and say, oh, no, you don't get to pick. One person is just going to have to pick while the other, you know, they just keep switching the rules up. I assume they did that on purpose. Like,
yeah, but I don't like that. I feel like that's very manipulative because they made it look like Shawn was going through this like self-discovery journey where she was like, you know what? I trust these people. I like them. I'm going to let them see the real me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of like this like natural thing, but the fact that she had those pictures there proves that it wasn't natural, that it was like a preconceived plot twist. And I don't like that. That was the one thing about the circle actually that I didn't like, is how manipulative they were with Shawn, sure. Character or whatever.
Well, they hit the kind of socially conscious aspects of it pretty hard in ways that felt ham-handed at times. Because I think the big thing is, hey, if you just started with the premise of, okay, everybody has picked five photos, but you have X number of photos that you're allowed to have, it totally wouldn't have been an issue. But the idea that everybody else came in with, well, these are the only things that are representing me, and that's it, and she had two sets, was weird, right?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It was definitely, like, decided ahead of time that for some reason she was going to need those second backup pictures of what she really looked like, and why did she know that she was going to need those? I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it was designed in a way that was unreasonable. She didn't win, but she was very likable, and I enjoyed the sequence where she sort of revealed her real self to four people, I think, like Chris and Sammy and somebody else. She didn't talk to everybody, which was sort of weird to me.
It was all the girls and Chris, except except that Rebecca is Rebecca's really Seaburn.
Yeah.
So really it was she thought she was talking to two girls and a guy, and she was talking to two guys and a girl, but
yeah. Which is I mean, hey, that's how life is.
Oh, but that was a great example of Seaburn, though, because here's this guy being a catfish. He's pretending to be a woman, and Shawn comes out and says, I am playing somebody else because I'm not comfortable. You know, I wasn't comfortable showing who I really am, but I want to show you guys. And although I think that was a manipulative moment, I think Seaburn's reaction to that was genuine, and he was flabbergasted that a woman would feel that way, and he was so supportive of her, and he was so proud that she did that, and he was so supportive of her afterwards that I even think that somebody tried to eliminate her and he stopped it because he was like, that was so brave of her. And like, I loved him for that.
Oh yeah, I think Seaburn was great, and you know, despite his failings at pretending to be a woman, he demonstrated like he was just so curious and kind of, I mean, and I don't mean this in any sort of insulting way. There was a curious childlike nature to him the whole time.
Oh yeah. It was like, this is what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah. Everything was new and exciting to him. It was darling. Whereas in contrast, like Shuby starts as someone who you think is like, oh, he doesn't get this because he's totally against it and he's a fish out of water. But he turns out to be one of the most cunning players, not in a bad way, but he's just really adept. Like he's figuring out, okay, I know what these people are doing. I need to do this. And he was very precise in everything later in the game.
Yeah, he was definitely playing the game, whereas a lot of other people weren't just voting for who they liked the best. And Shuby would be like, well, everybody's going to vote for that person because they're nice, so I better vote them down.
Yeah. So Bill was the late addition who he just like flamed out quickly and then called everybody fake, which was pretty heavy duty.
I forgot that he existed, but now that you're saying it, I remember the funny thing about Bill was that his picture looked almost identical to Adam/Alex's picture. Like they looked like they were using the same pictures.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's just that white guy, uncanny valley.
But I remember everybody thought Bill was a catfish because they were like, well, he looks like Alex. He must be using Alex's pictures. And right. It's like, no, Alex is the cat. Like, maybe Alex is using Bill's pictures.
Which, honestly, look, if Netflix, if you want to talk to me and Shannon right now, we will do season 2 or 3 where we will throw in a person who just uses another person's stuff and says, no, I'm actually the real this person, and see what happens. Because I think it would be amazing.
Oh my gosh. So on the UK version, so one of the other things, if you haven't seen The Circle, is because, I mean, these people sit around and they just talk to each other all day. They have nothing else to do. They have books, but they don't have music, TV, anything else.
They've got sweet little apartments, and they're all seeming to like do cook. I mean, basically they're just living in quarantine.
Yeah, they're living in quarantine without TV. But one of the things that The Circle does to entertain them is that it kind of gives them these little like get to know you games. That, you know, like if you win it, you get an extra profile pic, or like you get a, you know, a bottle of champagne delivered to your door or something like that. And the UK version had a game where they said that people wrote in via social media, because The Circle in the UK was live, like it was live every week.
Oh, like American Idol.
Yeah. And so like after like week 3, they're like, oh, people, you know, just so you know, people on the outside love you guys. And we've had some people send in their profile pics, and they want to know how you would rate them. And so they showed everybody these like kind of random profile pics, but they mixed in all of the catfish's real photos.
Oh.
So like there was one guy kind of like this. There was one guy pretending to be his girlfriend, and they showed his picture, and everybody was like, that guy looks like a dork, and he's just sitting there laughing his ass off because he's like, that's me.
God, that's funny. Because, well, yeah, and everybody would, you'd think everybody was like, oh, okay, so they showed a picture of the girlfriend he was pretending to be and him.
Well, so yeah, so he's pretending to be his girlfriend, so everybody thinks he's his girlfriend. It would be like if they were just like, it would be like if they showed a picture of Seaburn to everybody.
Right, Seaburn hanging out with, air quotes, Rebecca.
Well, not with Rebecca, just,
oh,
like
just
a picture
separate?
Of Seaburn on his own, yeah. Oh, and then everybody making fun of Seaburn, and Seaburn hearing everybody make fun of him, and not being able to say anything because he's not supposed to be Seaburn.
Oh, man. That would hurt. That would stink. But, I mean, that's part of, hey, you know.
No, I think the worst thing that was said was, this looks like the kind of guy that would tell you a knock-knock joke. And he thought that was funny. He was like, it's true, knock-knock jokes.
I think I would accept that as an insult myself. I would never tell a knock-knock joke, though. Not anymore. Oh, man. But yeah, this show, I tell you, like, I really enjoyed it so thoroughly, and I felt so sad when it ended, and I haven't felt that way about a reality show in a very long time. I usually feel disappointed in people or just sort of frustrated that I spent the time, because it just peters out or whatever, right? But compared to Love is Blind, for instance, no one here is a problem. Like, no one's bad. Everybody's really even conscientious when they're flexing on each other. And you
I feel like genuine friendships were formed on this show.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I would watch a version of The Circle where this group of people gets together to do this again in 5 years. Cause I feel like they really did like each other. And I think it was refreshing. It was a really refreshing energy to experience. I thought everybody was genuine.
Yeah, that's what I liked, is that this is a reality show where people are competing for a large sum of money, and the way they're competing is to try and be popular, and the way you become popular is by befriending people. So automatically, if you're on this show, your guard is going to be up. Because you're like, oh, is that person only befriending me so that I will vote for them and they will get money?
Right.
But it kind of shows like how, I mean, I personally believe that human beings are inherently good. And I feel like that kind of comes out, because even knowing that that's a possibility, these people still let their guards down and still became genuine friends with each other and still developed relationships. And we haven't talked about the winner, but I think, and at the end, a really nice, genuine person won because they were a nice, genuine person. And it would be so easy to, you know, just try and be manipulative or to just kind of be wary of everybody, but nobody was like that. Like, they were actually like open to friendships and nice to each other. And I did love that.
Yeah. I mean, that was the best part, was you come away from this feeling like these people actually cared about each other, and the circle who finished it, the smaller circle of friends who came out as the finalists before the winner. Are we going to say who the winner is on the podcast?
Let's talk about the final four. Let's talk about the final four.
So you got the final four, you got Joey, you got Shuby, you got Rebecca and Chris. A really good final four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sammy in there too? Was it a final five? Because I feel like Sammy was at the dinner.
Yeah, I feel like there was. Yeah, so at the before a winner is announced, they vote. And then they all meet up for dinner in person. And you're right. I think there might have been a final five.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Sammy was definitely
Shuby,
in there.
Joey, Sammy, Chris, and Rebecca were the final five.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it just really, really nice people. And it's nice to see, because in a lot of reality shows, when people are nice, they're fake nice.
This was not fake nice at all. Even when Seaburn walked in and they were expecting Rebecca, they were all super excited to meet Seaburn. They were super happy about it.
I mean, I really enjoyed this show. I think what'll be interesting is seeing if subsequent seasons of this show are as good and as sort of humanistically optimistic, or if they become darker. I mean, I can only assume that they'd have to become darker because someone's going to be in there to play the game and be manipulative. But I also think that part of the format, because we didn't talk a lot about the format, but it's social media. But I think, as you said early on, it's just text messages. You're just voice to texting. And that's pretty much all you can do, aside from the occasional extra profile picture or statuses, which they didn't really emphasize that much, but they came up a few times.
Yeah, I mean, most of the times those were like, Shannon had a great night's sleep and is really enjoying the beds here. Yeah. They weren't that exciting.
which was the last thing that you posted on social media, so I appreciate that you called that back.
I mean, I can say, having watched two seasons of the UK version, that that didn't get darker, and that's even with people knowing kind of how to manipulate it, but that casting was really, really good, because the second season of The Circle in the UK had a kid who had famous parents and was really invested in finding out if people liked him for him.
Aww.
And it had like a man in his 60s that had never really used social media before and was just really excited about meeting people. So I think the casting will probably have a lot to do with that.
Since
it's America, like, the second version in America will probably be terrible, and we probably will get a bunch of manipulative assholes, but hopefully not.
I think this is a show that I would want to be on. It's the only time I've ever felt like I'd like to be on a reality show. Jenny and I talked about this, and we would both do it. We could do it as a couple. I think it would be a lot of fun. How do you feel? Would you be on this show?
I would totally be on this show.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, it seems like a great opportunity just to be nice.
I think that I would go crazy not having TV, because based on, kind of like Love is Blind, based on what I've read, we only see such a small percentage of their conversations because they're so bored. That's all they have to do all day is talk to each other, and they talk about everything. And I think that is how the genuine friendships form. But I think that might drive me crazy, because I don't like to talk that much, despite the fact that I'm on a podcast. But
yeah, but it's only really like an hour a week that we're on the podcast.
Yeah.
The rest of the time you are completely silent. And listeners, I will attest to that. She won't even talk when this is not recording.
Not totally true. Yeah, no, I don't.
You,
I
you're a social butterfly when you want to be, and that's totally cool. That's how people are. We should all be who we are.
No, I live my life like I'm constantly in quarantine, so.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the IMDb reviews of this show, and there's just a lot of positive feedback on the fact that it's not like other reality shows, which is really the reason why it resonated with me. It's not like a reality show. It's not like a game show. It's really, it's kind. I think there's something there that we need more opportunities to have people just be nice to each other on purpose and not with the gamesmanship. Cause I think that's like the whole, late 90s to through 2000s version of reality TV is like, how can I screw over the other people I'm playing with? Because I have to destroy them.
Well, what's that line? I'm not here to make friends. Well, this is a reality show where you are here to make friends.
Yeah. You're literally required to make friends. And if you don't, well, you're going to be kicked off because you're not friendly and people won't like you. It's great. There's only there's a couple, like, there's one here that's a 5 out of 10 that says cringy and extremely fake. This was posted by someone called Healing Process on January 17th.
Well, and I get that. Like I mentioned, the thing with Sean, I feel like that was fake. It did occur to me that I'm curious how if the show decides to ever manipulate people, because clearly – so the people aren't actually typing, even though it's like air quotes text messaging.
Yeah.
They're just saying out loud what they want to say to somebody. And then I'm guessing it's kind of like when you go to a conference or you're at a convention or something and there's somebody typing that as fast as they can for the hard of hearing for the.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Doing the closed captions.
Closed captioning. Yeah. So I'm sure that's what it is. So they're speaking what they want to say to somebody and it's getting closed captioned by a third person.
Wait, so you're saying that you don't think that there is an elaborate voice to text mechanism they built from the ground up for this show?
I don't think there is. I don't think there is. Circle, tell Joey, smiley face, I think you're awesome. Wait, no, I think you're cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, there is definitely a human interpreting what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, especially with the emoji labeling. They're all over the place with that. Like, let's do the smiley face. Let's do the emojo. That's what Ed's mom would say.
Yeah.
Let's do the emojo with the tiered smiley face. I don't know.
But it also got me thinking about how much other manipulation the show could do if they wanted to. And I don't know if they do or not, but I mean, even just if two people are talking and the one person thinks that they're responding right away, the show could delay that for like 20 minutes and make that person look like a dick. So
Oh, yeah.
So like there could, so I that person 5 out of 10, I see how you could think it's fake. And I think, you know, the Sean thing was fake and you could be distrustful of how messages are being sent, because that does have a big thing to do with how people are becoming friends.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you're watching any kind of television and thinking that it's just like direct footage of what is happening, then yeah.
We're definitely being manipulated.
Yeah. Everything is going to be framed a certain way. And I mean, we're not getting, like you said, if these people are hanging out in these spaces just talking to each other all the time, you're not getting the conversation with like, oh yeah, I really like football. What do you like? I don't like football. Oh, that sucks. Okay. Like, you're not getting the boring stuff. Or you getting,
well, and not to mention, like, if this was you and I and you said something and I responded like, that's stupid, like the show could not send that to you.
Right.
And yeah. You would never know I said that. So you would still be my friend because you're not knowing that I'm like calling the thing you like stupid. So
right. And or you might even be calling it stupid in a colloquial way and not in a judging way. Like there are all sorts of layers. Yeah. I mean, it's orchestrated. It's television. It's for
entertainment. It's still orchestrated, but it is a good orchestrated.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a real joy. It was a real joy. Shannon, what else have you watched anything else this week? Have you had anything of late that you've been checking out?
I am watching the entire oeuvre of MTV's Are You the One?
Ooh.
Which is, I love reality shows. It's so bad. Especially the worse they are, the better. But yeah, so Are You the One is where a bunch of singles get sent to Hawaii and they're supposed to figure out who the matchmaker thinks that they match up with best.
Of course,
they all end up like sleeping with each other and never figuring out who their perfect match is. But it's great.
So the puzzle is to figure out who the matchmaker wants you to fit with?
Yeah, so basically there's like 11 girls and 11 guys, and everybody has a match.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, apparently you go through an interview process beforehand and you say what you're looking for, and they do psychological tests to decide what you need. And these are all people that are self-described as being terrible at relationships. And they get into this house, and of the 11 people, they're supposed to figure out which one of those 11 is the one that they're supposed to be with. But of course, they never figure that out. They always go for the worst possible person and just spend the entire time with them.
Oh my God.
And it's great. Well, I'm on like season 5 or something of it.
That's amazing. Like, oh God. I mean, imagine... I guess that would be what being very, very sort of orthodoxly religious would be. Would be like, oh, who does God want me to be with? And you'd just be dating people going, are you the person God wants me to be with? I don't know. Jeez. What? Have you heard about this Bachelor Listen to Your Heart show that's coming?
No.
So the premise of this is that it's 10 single men and 10 single women, and they're all musicians and they're pairing them up. And the thing, Jenny and I saw the commercial for it last night, and I was just like, look, I mean, this is not going to work. Fleetwood Mac happens one time. Otherwise, it's just disastrous people who do not mix.
Oh, I love it. I just Googled it. Oh, I've got one. This might have to be our next one. It's coming out on Netflix on April 17th, and it's called Too Hot to Handle.
Oh.
And it's also, I don't know, let's say 10 men and 10 women, and they're all ridiculously good looking, and they're all very, no judgment, sexually active.
Uh-huh.
And sure. The premise is that they're supposed to spend like a month in the house together, and if they are abstinent the whole time,
they don't bone.
Yeah, but any physical contact makes the pot of money that they win go down for everybody. So like if one couple kisses, everybody loses money.
Oh wow.
And so it's basically just watching all these like kind of hot slutty people in a house trying really hard not to make out with each
other. They're all just social distancing as hard as they can.
it's social distancing for the MTV generation. I'm excited about that one.
I would hope that there's a tagline in there that says, if you bone, you're going home. but I guess not.
So that's going to be my next one. That's coming okay. out. That's coming out. What's today?
Today's the 10th. And
so next yeah. week. So yeah, maybe right. not next week, but the next podcast might have to be about that.
So how did you feel about listeners? We're going to do a little bit of show background. This is a little bit of behind the scenes. How did you feel about the Buffy idea? Do you want to do that or no?
I am open to that idea. I'm going to be honest that I have watched Buffy so many times that I actually don't feel the need to really ever watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
But if
yeah, I don't need to watch it again either. We can talk about it.
I was gonna say, but I feel like I could definitely talk about it because I've seen it so many times. But yeah, Buffy was such a big part of my life for so long. My dog's name is Xander.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I've moved on from that.
Okay. All right.
But I could talk about it in my sleep. So if you want to do that, I could definitely do it.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it off mic some and figure out what we want to do for next week.
I've moved on past Buffy. I'm sorry.
In fairness, like I have too. There was a, I mean, I think I've told you this. There was a time in my life where I was recording it off of the TV with the very strict VCR recording of hitting pause on the commercial breaks and unpausing and everything. And that lasted until freshman year of college, when it was like, oh, wait, I can't do this and be a person who's perceived as sane. But I watched the show all the way through, and it really meant a lot to me. I owned every season on DVD for a while, and then I was like, you know, it's fine. And then of course now they're on Netflix or Hulu, one way or the other. But yeah, it's great. It was a great time. It's great.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you. I watched it religiously when it was on actual TV before there was such things as DVRs. I bought all the DVDs for all the seasons. I spent like a year of my life shadow casting the Buffy sing-along in New York, playing Buffy herself.
Nice.
Made some really great friends doing that. And I've talked to them, and it was weird because it's when I say shadow casting, for anybody who doesn't know, that's kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show, when you go to a theater and you watch something on the screen, but there's a cast in front of it kind of acting it out also.
Yeah.
So there was an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer called Once More with Feeling. And we used to play that every weekend at midnight at the IFC Center in New York. And we were acting it out in front of the stage and screen. And people would come up to us and ask us questions about the show, like we were the actors. And we were like, we're not actors. We just like to get drunk and be in front of people because we're all trying to be actors in real life, and this is the closest we've ever come. So I talked to my friends that did that with me, and all of us are like, yeah, I can't watch that show anymore. Like, doing that kind of ruined it for us.
Yeah. No, I get that too, because it's there's a part of me that, like, I'll watch an episode now and again late at night, you know, just as like a getting ready to go to bed sort of show. Cause it's like a security blanket. It's a wonderful thing, but I don't get the same joy out of it I used to get. Cause it's dated. Something years old.
I will admit I have certain episodes that I'm still like, oh, I love that episode.
Oh yeah, of course. Okay. Here's the idea. We will do an episode where we just talk about our top episodes of the show. For one show. Does that sound good?
I like that.
Okay, good. I will compile a list because I have like 5 to 7 that I think are really, really like, I love these. And we can do that.
Let's pick our top 5. So let's all do that. Listeners, you do that too. Let's all pick our top 5 Buffy episodes. And next week, that's what we'll talk about.
Perfect. I love it. I love it. All right. Hey, Shannon, this has been a lot of fun. Do you have anything that you want to plug this week? Oh, wait, actually, before I get there, see, I went too far. What kind? How many little airplane dings are you going to give the circle out of 10?
Oh, I think I'm going to give it 7 or 8. Let me tell you why. I loved it, but I also can't in good conscience give a reality show that high of a rating. Because I've got to think about other things I'm rating, and like, I don't want the circle to be on the same rating as like The Godfather.
Right. Well, yeah. And it can't be as good as Tiger King even.
Yeah. So as much as I love it, I think it caps at 8. So I'm going to be between 7 and 8 on the circle. I'll give it 8 though. I do think it was a great show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could provide some sort of dramatic tension, but it's an 8 for me as well, dog. It's just fun to watch. It's sweet, and you don't feel dirty while you're watching it, and you don't feel sad after you watch it, other than feeling legitimately sad that you don't get to spend more time with the group of people. I mean, I that's kind of the testament for me for whether a show is good or not. It's just, do I feel some level of sadness for having to leave their company? And I did. I really enjoyed being around the people, and all of the people who were kind of shitty disappeared, and all the people who were nice rose to the top, and it was great.
And I would definitely recommend, if you can get your hands on the UK version, the second season of the UK version is amazing. It's got one of my favorite people on the planet in it.
Awesome. Who is that person? Spoilers.
I can't remember his name right now, but he's the older gentleman who doesn't really do social media. And I think he's a philosophy professor, and he's a beautiful human being, and I want to have dinner with him.
Wonderful. So he's making it like an episode of The Good Place every week.
Ugh, love him. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Oh. So okay. Now plug, Shannon. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yes. So in the wake of all these restaurants being closed, restaurants are struggling. Buy gift cards if you can. Find there's sites where you can possibly tip people that were in the service industry. But the other thing that's affecting right now is farmers and anybody who supplied food to restaurants. So Google restaurant suppliers. I know that there's one in Denver called Alter. God, I've had this ready.
Altamira.
Is that it?
Yeah, Jenny and I ordered food from Altamira this week because they will do free delivery of high-quality food to you.
That's it, Altamira, yeah. And so basically they're trying to help out. And also look at local farms and see if they're doing CSAs. Apparently there's all this food just going to waste because restaurants aren't buying it anymore. And
yeah, got a bad system.
They're trying to go straight to the consumer. So if you can find a restaurant supplier, try and get food from them instead of your grocery store.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I will vouch. I will vouch. Altamira was great. We did one delivery of food. We got a bunch of fresh fruit and vegetables. We got some meat. We got some eggs. We got some bread. We got pasta sauce. A bunch of stuff. It was really worth doing. And it saved us a trip to the grocery store at the time when you probably really shouldn't be going for a couple of weeks here.
That's so funny. That's the one I was thinking of because, yeah, I don't need processed food. I need fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, milk, eggs. And, like, that's exactly what they've got.
Yeah. Bring me some fancy cheeses. I'm into it.
They do have a lot of fancy cheeses.
They do. And it's worth it.
And they also have like a whole appetizer section. Did you see that? Where it's like bacon stuffed figs or blue cheese stuffed figs wrapped in bacon. And like you can order like 30 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
what they would normally sell to a restaurant. So they're like, oh, we've got all these mac and cheese bites available.
And these are all assembled. So just take them from us. And you should.
If you want to have your own personal appetizer party, go crazy. Yeah.
I mean, this is the opportunity, really. The only thing that they don't supply is the candle that you need to light the situation. So that you can have an enjoyable, isolated, super app dinner. But yeah, it's a really wonderful service. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I'm just sort of still plugging, like, mind the social distancing thing. You know, I know this show is going to come out a couple weeks after we recorded it, so I kind of doubt we're going to be done by then, but if we are, hey, I'm sorry for being a dick about asking you to keep doing it, but just keep doing it. Like, it's I know we're all exhausted by it, but it's time. It's time to keep doing this.
I think in a couple weeks we're still going to be doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're called to do something very simple, which is just not go out. And that's really hard, primarily because we need people at the top. We need good leadership to provide us the opportunity to survive while also not going out, which we'll see if that happens. But so far, meh. But yeah, I mean, other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We really appreciate you, and we're gonna keep doing this. We're gonna keep putting these out for you to mostly, I think, share stuff that we're enthusiastic about. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, Shannon, but it's sort of just an opportunity to speak to the conditions of the times and partially because I like spending a good hour and a half, 2 hours with you and talking. It's a lot of fun.
Aw, I like it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I like talking about TV.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this might change the format of the podcast forever. We might only talk about TV from now on. But yeah, I mean, if you like this show, please just rate and review us on whatever your podcast player is. Tell some people about us. We've got so many episodes in the hopper, as they say. And yeah, we'd love for you to check that out and check out our social media. We've got the Facebook group, the A Vague Idea Podcast online group thing. We've been playing Pom-U-Pom de Terre online. It's been a joy. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what else. Like, our theme song is by Michael J. O'Connor. He's phenomenal. You should check out his music.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, I would say support stenodenver.com when you get a chance, because it's a wonderful co-working space and they've always allowed us to record there, and they will when things get back to normal or normal-ish. And yeah, I mean, otherwise, I don't know. Shannon, do you have any parting thoughts?
Don't touch your face.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't touch that face. Yeah, so I'll just say the I'm not going to say the catchphrase anymore, because whatever, it's over. We passed it. But we love you guys, and take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page, and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.